be good to pray. Lord, thank you that, Lord, ultimately we want your living word just to be heard, Lord Jesus, to be something that penetrates even the hardest of hearts. Lord, that's how we're here. Lord, and we love you this morning. We've just, Lord, there is such a richness in just being in your presence where there's a lovely flow of your spirit. Lord, a lovely nature of hearts that want to go on even further and deeper into you, Lord. Lord, I want that even more. Lord, thank you for the body, the people here. Lord, we're so thankful, so grateful for one another. Thank you for those hearts that we've just prayed for. Lord, that they would know the strength in the body in our prayers, Lord Jesus. Lord, we stand with our brothers and sisters and even ones we haven't heard of this morning and just, Lord, we lift them to you. Lord, we love you. Lord, and bring my thoughts to make sense, I pray. Amen. We just sung a hymn about never ceasing to praise the Lord. I think it was along those lines anyway. And I was in the car the other morning on the way to work and really, really belting out a song, singing to the Lord, and had my hands on the wheels but really going for it. And then I pulled up to some traffic lights and then a car was next to me and she saw me really singing and praising. And she gave me one of those looks of, you're either mad or you're convinced by something. And I love it. I don't think you can contain praise. It's an amazing open door to just worship. And it's incredible. It sort of melts the hardest of hearts. And I'm so thankful to the Lord that I've always enjoyed just worshipping, you know, singing. Even from a young kid and through the, even in the youth when you usually go off things or you're kind of a little bit interested in them, even in the youth, that key age, I still love to sing, and it's such a powerful thing. And we prayed for those going to Estonia, and I know some of those Baltic countries, I've heard it said before, there's quite a hardness. Singing could be the key. Sing well, sing with your heart. It could be the thing that just, oh, if it just melted one soul, there's much joy in heaven, isn't there? Oh. This morning I was really challenged a few weeks back when Dave was preaching about the local church. He was speaking about the church and was bringing different scriptures. And so this morning I try and attempt to speak something about the anatomy of the church. And I'm sorry, but can I just say big thank you, just a corporate thank you, that I had an exam last week at university, just my end of year exam, and I scraped through, and I'd love to have said I passed with, oh no. Find it very awkward chatting about yourself, but it's really just thankfulness for a body that just prays, you know, even for an exam. And the Lord's interested in all kinds of things, you know. And but I'd love to say that I passed with flying colours, but I didn't. I scraped through, but it's a pass is a pass, isn't it? Never came out with any GCSEs, so it's not bad, is it? The Lord can use someone who fails when they're a teenager, and he can use them. If you've experienced difficulty even in the academic world, the Lord can still use you. And someone said to me here, I think it was Julian Cliff, he said that the Spirit would give you unction. And he's given a bit of unction to pass an exam, and I'm relieved. So, but thank you for praying. I really mean it. The Lord's so good. Helps you revise. Helps you study. Keeps you awake when you want to go sleep. But he's great. I just want to speak a little bit about the anatomy of church, is because I've had a whole year learning about the anatomy of the head. Okay, I'm going to go to Ephesians. But I've just had a year just learning muscles, bones, nerve supplies, the function. And so just in my own quiet time, I was trying to kind of how I could use this to just describe the local church, us, you, me, and our function, our origin, also our insertion, like where are we going? Where are we going? So there's just about four or five things I just want to go through. Is that okay? I've really enjoyed the preparation. We'll wait and we'll trust and see that the Lord... but thank you for one another. Thank you for prayer. If you've just got your Bible, just turn with me into Ephesians. Chapter 4. And I've been really... sorry, just going back to the thing of... I've had just a real opportunity at university, this just as a little encouragement, but we all were sat in a room and we were all facing this exam and we had to do this walk. It's almost a walk of shame down to a building to do this exam. Nerves were all everywhere. But there was a girl that had bought these little good luck coins and she gave them out to all the class the day before, actually it was. And I was in the hotel room and I purposely left this coin in my room. I didn't want to go to the exam with it. I mean, you may be kind of a bit, oh, it's only a... I was so caught up in the Lord at that time. Any little thing, I thought it could just be a little hindrance. It could be something... We have to be very careful. Really careful in the church that it says, don't give place to the devil in Ephesians. We can almost... naively give place to the devil, and I was really strong there, and I purposely left the coin. I don't know where it is now, actually. Maybe I left it in a travel lodge in Preston, don't you? I left it there, and I purposely went. I knew in my heart an incredible help with me, the Holy Spirit, and I was sat and I clicked on my exam. Third question came in and I didn't have a clue. Barely understand the question, let alone answer it. And I stared at the wall in there, and I said, Holy Spirit, if there is ever a time that I need you, it's now. Ever a time that I need you. I just sat there blankly at a wall thinking, what? And then he just comes in. He gives you another little thought to get on with. Do you know what I mean? He just moves you on to something else. He's so gentle. He's so kind, but yet so strong, powerful. After this had happened, I spoke to the girl that gave me the coin. And she just talked to me a little bit, and she's got her own psychic. And it just, something in my heart just dropped. That there are many out there that are just in a whole realm, a spiritual realm of complete darkness, yet she's a really nice girl, really. And we studied with her and another girl. We studied a whole day before the exam. Two girls came with their boxes with lots of flashcards and all prepared, all colour-coded. I turned up with a jotter and a pen. And I learnt a valuable lesson there. Be prepared. I think ladies are way above men on that. They compartmentalise things and they can have all order of colour, coding. Anyway, I learnt my lesson. But I had a really good chat with her and she just said that she has a psychic. And it just hit home that, oh man, we have so much more. Something living. Something that moves. Something that's powerful. Something that will help you in an exam. And the amazing thing about when you're going through something, the Spirit then makes you pray for those others that are in that situation. Such opportunity. Thinking about ones here who are facing exams. And I was able to pray. It takes your mind off yourself, which is good. It throws yourself into a new way of trusting the Lord. And so it really helped me. And you get to a stage with the Lord Jesus where whether you pass or you fail, you're so thankful just to be His. Yes. I could shout it out. It's an incredible place to be. It may be the rest that you've been saying about this morning. You know, it's such a place you can be in where I don't know, I think the Lord gets you there. He doesn't squeeze you into a place of desperation. But when you're there, he says, I'm with you. I am right with you. Whether you fail or whether you don't, I was getting ready to come and speak on this Sunday morning about failure. But amazingly, I didn't fail. But it's a real subject though, isn't it? Christians dealing with failure. It's a big subject. It can get your faith all a little bit twisted. Don't know if it's right, but the Lord loves a failure. But in a right way, that he's straight in there. He'll pick up the one that feels a failure. He'll then give you a bit more strength to get up and face another challenge. Facing Your Giants is a great book. But anyway, it's not on failure. I need to get back to this. I'm wondering. Ephesians chapter 4. The bit that's important about a muscle, okay? Now, I'm going to describe you all as muscles this morning. Not the thing that you eat, the thing that you sometimes flex and use. Those, that's the ones that, yeah? Some have some muscles, some maybe not so much. But Ephesians chapter 4. Now, a muscle has an origin. It has an insertion, somewhere where it's going. It has a function, okay, and then also as a supply, okay. So I just want to go through those things. Are you with me? Is that okay? Oh, I don't want to be like my lecturer at university, because, well, some people were drifting off. Oh, this is recorded, isn't it? Chapter 4, verse 13. I'm just going to break in. The whole thing of Ephesians is, I will actually read it, I will get to it, but Ephesians is an incredible book because it doesn't really deal with a major specific issue, a bad issue in church. It's like a book of fresh air. I'm not saying that we've got loads of problems, but there were many problems, many churches faced, but Ephesians is just this kind of circular letter that's just there for everyone to take to get back on track with the Lord Jesus. It's an incredible book. Very hard to break into it because it's all just one amazing theme of oneness. Togetherness. Someone prayed it all together. Growing together. Moving together. Suffering together. Here we go. Verse 14. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into who is the head, Christ. In a nice way, and I've said it to myself, we need to grow up. Isn't that a wonderful thing though? I've had it said to me on a different kind of account at school. At home, you need to grow up, and it's that finger that comes out. But this is an incredible thing. We need to grow up, but it's a wonderful growing up into Jesus. And one thing about studying in particular the face, is that the head is the incredible control. Massive control. And the first origin of a muscle is, for me, it's understanding that Christ is the head. Above any other function that you do or I do in church, any other thing that we may think or do, he is the head. Can I say that categorically? It may be one of the things that possibly has drifted away from church, maybe even the West, is that they've lost the head. I can think of various ways. There's almost an overimportance on strategy of doing church, and they've lost the picture of Christ the head, the wonderful head that sustains, that's been here this morning. Have you known it this morning? Have you felt it this morning? We've sung about just gazing upon him face to, it's incredible. Our origin is in the head. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? It says here, our origin in Christ the head, And then it goes here, chapter 1, verse 4, you don't need to turn there, but we will. Just as he chose us before in the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You know what is before the foundations of the world? That is an incredible thing. Chosen. So our origin is not just something that's just come around. It's that thing that he's purposed in his heart for his own pleasing. Before the foundation, that is just a wonderful thing. Oh, makes me, I think we sung a song just now about lying down at the foot of the rock. Is that right? Oh, when you read some of these scriptures, it makes you want to do that. Chapter 2, verse 8 says here, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. The other amazing thing about the origin of where we are is that it's a wonderful gift of God. As soon as we get that in our minds, it puts away all the things that we've got to strive for something. We've got to earn something. We've got to appear to be such a wonderful Christian in front of people and have all the right words. And all. It's an incredible gift of God. Wonderful grace. What grace is mine? Isn't that wonderful? That we can get something that we don't deserve. And he doesn't give what we do deserve. The other origin which I thought about, I'll read it out, I mean you'd know it off by heart. Galatians 2 verse 20, is no longer I that live. The amazing origin that we must remember is this, that before we do any other function of a muscle, if we're thinking about going into a place to evangelise, it's this wonderful verse which, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Isn't that a wonderful origin for us this morning? Isn't that great? Precious Lord. Let's go on. Let's talk about this insertion. I've got to be honest, I had to read up what insertion meant after the lecture. I think everyone takes it for granted, but you know, we sing these words, and you can just sing over them in some of the hymns. I always have to stop and really think about what they mean. It only takes a few moments and a few minutes, but it really helps. It almost cements things that are going on in our lives. If you read some of the words that you think, oh man, what's he getting at there? In the meditating on it and in the thinking of it, it makes you stronger. It makes you learn. It's great. I can remember for years, just as soon as I heard some hymns, I used to just switch off in church. I'd be looking from the nearest window to see what was going on. Or I'd be looking at, I'm a people watcher. Mannerisms. But anyway, the Lord wants us to learn. Get to grips about what we sing and also what we pray. Insertion. Where is our place in Christ? Where is he putting us? Christ, I've put this, Christ is our attachment. Insertion is, it's our attachment. If I've got a muscle, on a cheekbone here, your zygomatic bone here, and it goes down to your mandible here. And when Dave starts to eat food, his jaw is... Okay, he's got a bit of a wiggle here, but... Let's look closely at Dave's jaw, okay? But I'll tell you what, the complexity of what goes on just when you chew food, and in your mind you're thinking, man, who created that? I know we look outside and creation, incredible thing, and you can look in such a panoramic viewpoint. But I've had to look through almost a magnifying glass at something, and you still see the amazing creation of God. The amazing use and function of this. And when you chew, what goes on, the muscles that you use, And one of the things is that you've got a muscle that's on your cheekbone here, and it goes down here, and it just helps you elevate your jaw, okay? But the thing that I'm trying to get is that if our origin is in Christ, our attachment goes into something. And I've been thinking about placement of a local church, and you as individuals, where's the Lord placed you? You know, it says in Ephesians, I think, about that you're set. The Lord sets us in a body. So you all this morning have been set here, purposed by God. Isn't that an incredible thing? And from here, I've always thought it for a long time, is that on Sunday mornings, I've always thought that this is almost like a bit of a boot camp when we meet together. You know that if you're going to tackle and climb Everest, it is so important to have, there's a camp that's further down where they have all their supplies, where they get all their navigation, where they plan their route, where they almost get their own training. And then from that camp, they then go up and they face what is, and I've looked at some of the pictures, is an incredible journey. Sometimes a hard journey. Sometimes one full of tribulation and all. But it's that amazing base camp, our origins of here this morning, where in the week we can go out. We can go out. Seeing different family members, seeing work colleagues, taking the wonderful life of Lord Jesus. Isn't that an amazing thing? After here on a Sunday morning, I'm often just feeling like something's got to flow out. Something has to flow out. If not, you can overanalyze things. Especially after you've just spoken, you sit down thinking, what did I say? What didn't I say? I shouldn't have said it like that. I shouldn't overanalyze it. But actually, you just want something just to flow through. Vessels flow in and through. This morning, just been wonderful, just to hearing the Lord's wonderful life just flowing through us. Isn't that great? And our origin is in Christ, and our insertion, our place is, where are you going this week? Everyone, I'm sure everyone has a different place to go into. But you know that the Lord, you can go with the Lord. He's in us. Wonderful, isn't it? I've tried to take him up to Preston, sunny Preston. Tried to take him with people that really, really have a hardness against anything religious. Just something on those thoughts on that is, and I'm the more and more I think about it, the more when I read these things is that if Christ lives in us, then it will have an impact on the people that we're with. If it doesn't, then I'll question things. And I'm getting braver and braver at just slipping in there the things about church, about my life. Even on Saturday at the football training of Heswell Juniors, I said to the guy, yeah, I'm involved in a church up at the Longcroft there because I've been asked to do some coaching. Just slip it in there. Brilliant. It leaves a little thought in their minds. They've got to think, oh, this guy's, he's fairly normal and he's going to church. And he, what does that mean? That's what they're looking for. Not looking for us to get a decree out and start saying, you must do this, you mustn't do this. I do this, I do that. No. Just throw some things in there. Show that you love them. Be rooted and grounded in love, and it will go so far. It goes so far. And these ones up at university, oh, my heart's for them already. Give us boldness, Lord. Our insertion is where we're going. We've got Christ in us. That's an amazing thing. He's our head. Where's our origin? Christ. Where's our insertion? Where we're going somewhere. And I know that we could say, and I thought about the answer to this, where we're going to heaven. And that's almost like an crazy... that's how if you spoke to a child, they would say that. In actual fact, it's true. Isn't that a wonderful truth? We're going to be with the Lord. he's here now and he's living within us. And I had to pinch myself, because you can get very adult about scripture and you can make it very... The natural fact, we're going to be with the Lord Jesus. This is what got me through when I was so stressed about the exam, is that I'm with him now and I'm going to be with him. Precious Lord. Where is your placing this morning? Where's your attachment? You know, one thing that strengthens an attachment in the scripture in Ephesians is the Holy Spirit. It says that we're sealed. And I can't get away from this wonderful picture of a muscle working attached to a bone here. And it goes into another bone here and it's strengthened and sealed by the Holy Spirit. And then it just brings this movement. Wonderful. I just thought that was great. I love pictures. I love to see how things work. And that really grabbed me. There's a vast supply of the Holy Spirit. He actually basically wants to kind of push it. We can be reluctant. Chapter 4, verse 13 says this in Ephesians. Just this phrase here. Till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. Someone prayed earlier on, I think it was Norman, about just growing up and becoming perfect. It says to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. One of the things that whilst you function, whilst we function all as members here, is that we're getting better, we're getting stronger, isn't that right? And the Lord wants to perfect us. Is that true? The hymn we sing, Thou dost seek a bride all pure and holy, amazingly takes us where we're up to right now. But once he gets us, he wants to take us further. Let's go to function. Are we functioning? Well, when I thought about function of the church, I thought about the main things that we as a group are involved in. I thought of evangelism being one of the main things. Discipleship. Fellowship, which is our ministry. And worship. And there's lots more, but I just thought of them being the main things that are really a key to a local church and its function. And often I think what's so wonderful is having that wonderful balance. Where am I going with this? My next thing was, if you take all of those different functions of a church, one of the most important things that I thought about was actually, they should all be, I thought of the word, bathed in prayer. Isn't that an important thing? We've prayed this morning for things. If we didn't have that, it would just be that we're functioning, but there's no real power to things. The wonderful Holy Spirit comes in and through prayer activates and makes the function work. So take Dave with his jaw. When the function comes of the Spirit, it's working. In actual fact, it gets stronger over time. I can see different jaws moving as I talk about it. And smiling. You're using your orbicularis muscle. Sorry, I'm going to keep saying that. It's one word I can say without faltering. Precious Lord. Now here's another thing. Just talking about function. Just turn with me into 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is the function that I've not really thought about. Not really, I understand the meaning of it, but I think it's very important. It says this. This is to do with the ministry of reconciliation. Maybe it's overlooked. Maybe it's something that we don't specifically look at. But actually the Lord said that there is a ministry of reconciliation. Let's just read it. Verse 18, chapter 5. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us a ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses, like not making a list of, not pointing fingers at stuff. And he says this, imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And he made in him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And I've just been blown away by this thing of that God is that pleads with us to express reconciliation to people that we know. Isn't that amazing? Just something on reconciliation. It's this thing of we once were kind of enmity with God, or in some ways we didn't get what we deserved, but then we've been restored. The amazing word is restoration, linked with reconciliation. So because of that, we've been restored to God. He then pleads with us, can you express reconciliation to the people on the earth now through us, the body? Isn't that wonderful? It's really helped me, because I thought for years I had this, growing up, I had this pressure that everything in church was geared towards this evangelism. Whoever you meet, you've got to just boom. You've got to get your Bible, flash it and say, look, this is... Reconciliation brings something more. It's restoration. Something that actually can take just that bit of time when you're walking with someone. You can help them through. Ultimately, the Lord's the one that saves. But it's got me thinking about that we... if you're thinking you're not sure what your role is in church and your function, or be someone that ministers reconciliation. Basically, the people that you're with, you can say to them, do you know what? You can be restored to a right relationship with God because of what he's done in Jesus. If you're unsure of what your role is, that is an incredible thing. The ministry of reconciliation. Reconciled to God. You can have restored relationship with God through Jesus. What amazes me about the Lord's great design of the church is that he now wants his expression of his life in and through you and me in a body, which we all know. And in that, we can have a ministry of reconciliation where he now wants to speak through us. That's what amazed me about the scripture, pleading through us. Isn't that a thing? His voice can come through us to people that don't yet know him. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled. I'm sure you can think of people in your own families now, you just so want them to know the Lord. And it's just encouragement that there is this thing that God's already recognised, this ministry of reconciliation, that we can say to people, you can be restored. You can be. Thinking of the lady up at the university, you don't need something that's so wrong like a psychic to tell you about what's going to happen. Let's go on. Here's another function. 1 Corinthians, you don't need to turn there. Chapter 3, verse 7 talks about one plants and one waters. God brings the increase. Isn't that the right way round? I wonder if we sometimes get it the wrong way round. Where we are looking to be the one that brings the increase, we can't do it. But the one thing that we can do is just be the ones that function. and just and plants, water. Here's another function of us here this morning. Back to Ephesians chapter 4 verse 3. Endeavour to keep the unity. How's that in its practical outworking? Have you ever asked that question to yourself? Endeavour to keep the unity. One good thing is that we have something all in common, that's our faith. We have one thing in accord, that's what binds us, that's what brings harmony, is that we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? But the practical outworking is that we have to, why does he say endeavour to keep unity? Well, it's obviously important, but for me it's something that you have to work at. Is that right? Keep sweet. That's what someone always used to say to me. Keep sweet. You know, when you think you've been wronged, you think you've been harshly treated, take it to the Lord and he can bring a sweetness back into something that just seems so dead, so hard. It's only the Lord can do it. Endeavour to keep the unity. Let's go on. The next one. This is the one that that's really got to me. Is the this is the nerve supply. Okay, we've done origin in Christ. We've done our insertion. Where are we going? Well, I know I'm going to heaven. Is that right? Do you know that? Also, it's about our placing. Where's the Lord placed you? Well, he set you. He set you in a body. Function. Things have to work. Things have to move. Muscles need to be exercised. I loved it earlier on when we did stand up. We were encouraged to stand up. It does get you kind of... And also that wonderful thing of just finding rest. You know, there's a balance there. That's what the Lord wants, isn't it? Chapter 4, verse 20 and verse 21. This is about the nerve supply. It says this: "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus." And I was reading over and over these little phrases: "You have not so learned Christ." And I was, had to read a commentary to try and understand what's he trying to say, and I've probably missed the basic point of it. But I've tried to think about this, that talking about the supply, is that we can be, you can hear teaching, you can be taught, you can hear many words, but if there is no application of it in learning, then where are we at? And I pictured those people at the time of Jesus that were often with him. They travelled with him. They would see his deeds, his wonders, and all the things of meeting different people. But they still wouldn't believe in their heart. And these just verses to me, just liken this thing of that you can be taught by him. You can hear his, even at the time of the disciples, that they heard him speak. They heard him, but they didn't learn Christ. And it just grabbed me, this thing that if we are moving to a place of heaven and he's exercising us and we're growing, we've got to learn Christ. We've got to learn how he is. How his word should sort of penetrate our lives, but also how he walked, how he was with people. And it's just grabbed me. We must learn Christ. You know, much we can hear, much incredible teaching and the truth as well, but learning seems to be the thing that we have to actually really concentrate and then put it into action. Am I clear? Does that make sense? Because I realised that if I had sat in all my lectures for a whole year, not made notes, not particularly concentrated, I know that last week I would have failed. Even if someone had said to me, "Oh, well, you need faith. Yeah, you'll be fine. You'll have faith and you'll pass." It's actually the things that really, the mixture of the wonderful faith that the Lord gives you, and it can just be like a mustard seed. But with it, he says, learn Christ, which for me, it's this thing of, well, learn the way he lived. Learn how he was with people, how he talked to people. And I get that from you now, as we're all members of a body. I learn Christ from you. Even on a Sunday morning. Even in when you're just in conversation, we can learn Christ from one another. Isn't that true? Sometimes it breaks my heart when I hear someone just pray, and it's almost like, oh Lord, they're so near to him. Wonderful. And when you hear of family situations that seem so dire, and you think, oh Lord, I want to learn from this. I want to learn that you're so gracious. He's at the bedside of someone now, even now as we talk and we listen, he's there. Wonderful Saviour. He walks beside. It says here, learn Christ, not just to be heard and taught. That was just my little thing. Learn Christ. And then it goes on. Chapter 3, verse 13. That's just verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. And this verse here, and I was thinking about, where does the supply come from? Well, it's his wonderful Spirit, and it's in the inner man. I don't think it can be described as anything closer, anything deeper. It's in the inner man. And when do we need it? Well, one of the places when you often feel the wonderful help of the Spirit is often when you're going through a hard time. Think of tribulations. Thinking of Paul and persecution. There is a wonderful Spirit that strengthens. Strengthen with might through his Spirit. Through tribulations. And it goes on and says about Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith. Chapter 3 verse 17 says this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. That's such an amazing verse. If that verse was being lived out, it would, thinking about evangelism and people that you meet, discipleship, if it's rooted and grounded in love, it will work. What does rooted mean? I looked it up. Established. It means that it's thoroughly grounded. It means that you become stable. That's something that can be so overlooked these days. But the amazing love of God brings stability. Stability to mind. Stability to conscience. That's wonderful. Grounded. Very firm ground. Grounded means to settle. As soon as I said the word settle to myself the other day, I thought, well, that just means a Christian can just kind of settle down and sit and let things go. Yet the Lord will speak to me when he's ready to. It's not so much that. It's this wonderful settling, knowing what he's done and what he is for you. Settle. And I remember having that clearly said quite a few times in Sunday school. Settle down. Settle down. Even in school, settle down. Satisfactory was another word. See me after class. But the Lord comes and he says, settle. Settle. Probably like we sung earlier on, finding that rest. I think he says, settle. What do we settle on? Well, very, very solid ground. And then he says this, chapter 6, I'm jumping all around Ephesians, but it's an incredible book. Chapter 6, verse 10, you know that it talks about the armour of God. And I always think that maybe I miss it often, but it says to put on the whole armour of God. You know, I know that each thing can come into a situation where we need the shield of faith. I can remember one Sunday night talking about the shield of faith, and I made up a shield, and I looked into the history of the shield that they used to use back then. It would have been in the Roman times, and it really caught me that the shield was not just this little shield. It was this circular thing here that may stop a dart if you're a bit fortunate. In actual fact, it was like a door. The shield was this door, and the Romans used to put it up, and then they put it over, and then they'd be standing next to each other. They used to call it the tortoise. Yeah, that's it. They used to stand there when the arrows came. Jenny, you're a wealth of the tortoise, which I said correctly. And they used to just stand in a row, and they put their shields up to the front, on top, on the side. An incredible strength. And it was a corporate faith. Yes, we would all take our shield up, but in actual fact, I don't think we realise it now, but we are we're a corporate faith. Corporate. Oh, I don't like that word. We're a united faith here, where the Lord is at the Longcroft. And we take our shields together. We stand together with a shield. Isn't that wonderful? And then this week we will go out, we will take our shields, and then we come back next week and our shields are there. They're dusty. They may have a little bit of blood on, they may have some sweat on them, but they're together again. Isn't that wonderful? Oh. Put on the whole armour of God. Chapter 4, verse 15. My time's going, I'm nearly there. It says, chapter 4, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, we, us, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. One of the things I wrote down here is to grow up in all things. I don't want to remain static. And I know the things that come and make you grow up, and it's often the hard things. It's often the tribulations. It's the things that almost break you, but then you realise the Lord, he's not just beside you, he's in you. And he takes you through the place where you feel that it's so tough. And you come out and you think, not that you introspectively look at yourself, but you realise, oh Lord, I've learned Christ in that. He's made me grow up. That's great, isn't it? I think it's quite a strong way of saying grow up. Not to remain tossed to and fro with different doctrines. One of the things that comes into the church is you get these things coming in that in some ways they take the carpet under your feet. You lose the vision of the head, the Christ, and then you're getting tossed and swayed by doctrine and these new things. All he wants is just you to focus on it, on the head. And one of the things that really caught me is this thing about being here. Chapter 2, verse 22, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. If you don't know what your function is, and you don't know what your role is in church, be a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. I remember going to a session and we were asked things about, well, do you know what your ministry is? Do you know what your so-and-so is? And can you name your different strengths? And all? This thing here has really helped me. Just be a dwelling place. Be a dwelling place. I read a book called The Great House of God by Max Lucado. Brilliant book. Easy reading. And he talks about how a house, a room is furnished. You have a living room, and that's the living room. That's where you do your nitty-gritty of life. You know, you're doing the washing, but you can still be happy. And you can or load the dishwasher and get it wrong. Or you can... all the things. And then it's the bedroom, the time when you sleep, and the time where you have your quiet time, you know, and it goes through the whole house. It is such a good book, really. Where am I going with this? But it's what it is saying, it's just to be a dwelling place. He can overcomplicate things. But he just wants us to dwell, be a dwelling place. Let his spirit just come in. Be filled with the Spirit, chapter 5. Speaking in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs to one another. One of the things that I think comes, and the wonderful supply, a nerve supply that brings function to muscles and everything encapsulates all this. It's a wonderful thing, but why do we sing when we meet together? If we met week in, week out, and we had no song, no songs to sing, no one stood up this morning and exalted us to sing a new song and a different, how would that be? One of the things that I believe that brings growth, brings unity, is that we can sing together. What it does, it takes our minds off who sat next to us in a way. It takes our mind off the things that are going to happen after this. Some people would know what's going to happen after, just on a sporting realm. Takes your mind off that, and it just keeps you just thinking about the Lord. And through that brings unity. And I heard, it's probably a little bit of a cheesy one, but someone said that when a group of people sing together, their heartbeats align with one another. Now, is that medically? I read it somewhere, but maybe. But I love the picture of it. It may have been said here before, I don't know. But when you sing together, because you're all singing together, your heartbeats are in the same timing as one another. You're all looking like, I'm not sure if that's true. Can I use it as an illustration? But I think there may be something. Well, when you exercise with someone, your heartbeat will go up, won't it? It will speed up and you... Anyway, where am I going with that? Anyway, our heartbeats are in tune. Time has gone. Our heartbeats are in tune. Wonderful. The Lord's wonderful, isn't he? Thank you, Lord, that we're in a body. Thank you, Lord, that he's the one that knits us together. He's the one that supplies. He's the one that will bring function to our lives. He's the one that we originate in Christ. It couldn't be anything closer. Shall I just pray? Lord, just catch us up this morning. Lord, we've just been so blessed in your presence. And I pray for those here, us as a body, Lord Jesus. Lord, that your supply would just keep flowing in and through us. Lord, make us vessels in a world that's so tainted. In a world that's, Lord, in such dire need of just being reconciled and knowing that there is reconciliation through Jesus to the Father. Lord, help us outwork that practically in the people that we meet day to day. Lord, for the girl at university that so somehow finds, Lord, guidance through a psychic. Lord, you're the one that can come in, flood into that life. Lord, and bring a relationship, Lord, and for many others here that we know of, Lord. Lord, help us practically outwork, Lord, that we are knitted together, that something would flow from us, Lord Jesus. Lord, we look to the head, that's you. Lord, we never want to lose the centrality of you being the head of the body. Lord, we're so grateful. We love you this morning. Lord, quicken our step as we go from here. Lord, that we would keep gazing upon you, Lord Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Amen.